I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580. I'm out of the office at the moment, so I don't have an update for you of the numbers from the CME group in Chicago. Fortunately, Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, was available early this morning so that I can be at this time, at this moment, on the biofuels energy farm that's just south of campus here in Urbana-Champaign with the Secretary of Agriculture. I'm sure we'll have more on that later in the day. He's here on campus all day long. We'll talk more about that during the closing market report, but suffice it to say, I'm on command performance, relatively speaking, checking out what the announcement might be from the Secretary of Agriculture related to biofuels in some form this morning. And then, of course, he'll be speaking at 12:30 in the Alice Campbell Hall. That's the Alumni Center, not the Campbell Hall, which is the home to the radio station. Those are two different buildings right here on campus. That's at 12:30 today. The Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, is visiting the U of I campus. Dan Zwicker is here. Thanks, Dan, for being with me a little bit early. I know you're retired, relatively speaking, but still really busy. I suppose you kind of gave up that 6 a.m. thing, and fortunately, it's only 10 after 8, but I suspect you get up a lot later these days than you used to.
Well, I've given up getting up at that 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning stuff, at least for the time being anyway. No, more than happy here to join you here this morning at 8 o'clock. Beautiful day down here in Waco, Texas. We're finally getting a break from the heat. We've had a steady diet of mid to upper 90s. Temperatures, and we're finally breaking down a little bit. I hope that is a sign that maybe fall is finally here. Other than that, real happy to be with you here this morning.
Well, the big things that we're looking forward to are the crop production and the WASDE figures that will be released by USDA tomorrow. That'll happen at 11 a.m. in the morning. For those listeners that want those numbers as quickly as possible, you can check out our website at willag.org. Sometime later today yet, I'll post my own Twitter account there, probably before I head out this morning, because I'll try to keep you up to date on what the Secretary of Agriculture is doing as it happens this morning. So you might check it out right now, actually. At this point, he may or may not have made the announcement. He's scheduled to start at 9:30 or was scheduled to start at 9:30. So check out this morning and then tomorrow morning, the willag.org. My Twitter account will be posted there, and you can find some updates on both the Secretary's movements on Thursday and then, of course, the reports tomorrow. Those numbers you think will change very much in the September report, Dan?
Well, it's difficult to see how the needle would move a whole bunch. I think there's maybe reason to believe that the ear weights and whatnot that they've done this time around might bring the numbers down a shade. I think the trade's kind of thinking that maybe we might come down a little bit, but I don't think or at least right now, I don't expect them to move the needle very much. I think the October report is where the needle is going to move. They're going to have much more data at that point in time. And then they will take a look at all the FSA reported acres numbers and then maybe make some acreage adjustments. So I think the October report is still going to be the one to watch. But I am hearing, though, I mean, as the yields I'm hearing in Illinois, and I know it's early, there's not a lot been done, but what's been done, the yields are all coming in at 14% to 15% below last year's level, and even more. I'm even starting to hear some yields in the prime areas of East Central Illinois that are coming in very disappointing compared to expectations. But you know, if you take a 15% reduction from last year, and last year I think we had a 200 bushel average here in Illinois.
We did.
Well, that kind of puts you where USDA has us at that 170 level. So that seems to be, but like I said, it's early. We haven't had that much harvest, but if you just use that as a guideline, That 170 is kind of where Illinois is looking, at least at the moment. And that's kind of, I think, what Pro Farmer ended up with, somewhere in that 170 range. So maybe 170 is going to catch Illinois. But I do think that the good areas are not as good as what everybody was thinking, at least from what I'm hearing. So there's probably room for some downward adjustments in maybe some of the states that have the higher yields. That, of course, then would bring down the overall national average yield.
So just as a reminder, USDA's crop production report is due out tomorrow. They have the national yield for corn now at 168.8. That's as of the August figures, updated again tomorrow. The total production from USDA in August was 13.686 billion bushels. As a reminder, last year we raised 14.216 billion bushels of corn. The soybean number at this point is 3.916 billion bushel crop, and USDA set at 46.9. The average trade guess is slightly lower. It's at 46.4. Where do you think that number will come in?
Well, it's hard to say. I haven't heard of anything. There's been some early two beans harvested, but some I haven't really heard that much. I think you could probably argue that the last couple weeks of the growing season, a lot of the area was dry and hot, and that may not have boded well for the beans making that extra two or three bushels that would maybe have the national average yield that high. But like I said, I don't know if USDA's got how much more data they got on this report than they did the previous report to actually move the needle. As soon as I say this, USDA will throw us a curveball tomorrow morning. But I think. Like I said, I think most in the trade are going to brace for October because there's a lot of people still believe that USDA is overstating the planted soybean acreage number, a million acres or more. So they do think that our overall production is going to be smaller than that because we just don't have the acres, at least the initial blush on the FSA numbers that we saw there in August. We're going to take another look, and I'm not too sure USDA doesn't get an early peek at those. I don't know if they're allowed, how confidential those numbers really are. They might have a little early peek, and they might make some acreage adjustments on this September report, but usually major acreage adjustments are reserved for the October report.
Is there anything on the charts that concerns you at this point? For instance, in the corn, we're still inside the range on the weekly chart from the last report. Is there a concern there that we might break to the downside tomorrow?
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, we just haven't really traced out what I would call any kind of a bottom, I think. The beans are the ones that are scary. If you would take the sideways action that we've seen in November soybeans, basically since the crop report, I mean, since we made this low here, I guess the late August low of 855, we've been kind of in a 875 to 890 range now for about 3 weeks. If you don't start breaking to the upside on that, you're going to break to the downside. And if you break to the downside, then you have, a lot of technicians will say, okay, 875 is the midpoint of a move lower measured off of the high that we had prior to the August crop report, which would be around $10. So that would be $1.25. So you just subtract $1.25 from 875, and that puts you in the 750 range, I think.
Yeah, plus another dime. The high was 1020, so you're down at 740, I guess. That's a pretty steep drop.
That's a pretty good drop. And, of course, I've sent you the chart, and a lot of people that listened to me last winter, they saw the corn soybean ratio. I mean, it has this a pretty consistent cycle in that it moves from 3-to-1 to 2-to-1 every 5 years or so, and we're now in the mood to take soybeans and corn down to the 2-to-1 or less. And you know, if corn is going to hold in this 350 area, and you start multiplying corn by 2, 350, there's $7 or 375, there's your 750. So that is what scares me the most. And the thing that we got to keep in mind is nobody really talks about it, but in all practical purposes, we're in a trade war, and we're in a trade war via devaluation of currencies. We don't have tariffs and we don't have this and that, but when countries continue to devalue their currency against the dollar, that puts us basically at a disadvantage in the export market, and the higher prices that we experience here between 07 and 12 did stimulate world production of corn, soybeans, and wheat around the world, just like it did here in the United States. And we're just basically hanging out. It will be interesting to see what kind of export numbers we do get tomorrow. If soybeans does seem to be a little active, we're getting some, you know, daily sale announcements on soybeans, but corn is really dead in the water. And you've mentioned it several times. I think both Daryl and Scott have mentioned that. The pace, this year's pace of export sales to corn are just well behind the five-year average and well behind any kind of number that we could obtain, at least at this point, if something changes in a big hurry. And that's going to be the problem with corn. Ethanol, you know, we can only grind so much, and I even understand now that a lot of gas stations may even start dropping E85 because gasoline is so much cheaper than ethanol that they're not even going to bother using a pump with E85. But the gas stations have never really promoted E85. And I, you know, they tell me that the oil companies pretty well threatened the convenience stores or the gas stations that they didn't really want E85 competitively priced. They always wanted it high enough that nobody would actually use it anyway. So I don't think they've been playing fair with us on that. But E85 sales have just never really taken off, and that's what we got to have for the ethanol producers to produce more ethanol and use it that way. But so I'm a little worried now. The livestock numbers are up, but we got a lot of substitute low quality wheats and that kind of stuff. But I am a little concerned with this currency devaluation that's going on around the world, and then I'm a little concerned with actually the equity situation. We still have those outside downdrafting forces. You know, I personally believe the U.S. stock market is a real big bubble because there was no other place for investors to put their money except to buy stock and hope that the stock goes up in value. So there's room for that to come squashing down on us. And I don't know what the Fed's going to do on interest rates. Some feel that if they would raise interest rates, that would maybe kickstart a lot of new building activity, because people's not building as long as interest rates are at these levels. If interest rates were going to start rising, we might be able to kickstart the economy and start seeing more building of manufacturing and homes and whatnot, and maybe help the economy out that way. But we've got a lot of problems economically, as you well know, in Illinois. What's going on in Illinois? We had the same problem in Washington and whether or not we were going to raise the debt ceiling and whether or not we're going to get a budget in Illinois. So there's going to be a lot of turbulence, I think, that could spill on over into the commodity markets.
Dan, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again this afternoon.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He is in Waco, Texas. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.